Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I do pray. I pray for you every day. I pray that this may be true food and not just scraps, but a banquet of the power of God's Word. I can't provide the banquet, but He can. And in my role as servant of that Word, that's what I want to do for you, is serve you the best food possible, to feed and to drink on the Word and on the Eucharist. Today we look at Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to the first verse of chapter 8. So 7:51 to 8:1. And again, I encourage you when you're listening to this program, it's good to have your scriptures in front of you so you can follow. It's good that two senses are engaged. There's less chance for distraction when two senses engage. So both your eyes and your ears. So I encourage you to have a Bible with you. This again now is the story of Stephen that I spoke about yesterday, and how Anna Wang many centuries later was able to declare, "I see him coming on the clouds." This is what Stephen said. Stephen said to the people, the elders and the scribes, "You stiff-necked people." You see how honest he is and straightforward? "Uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always oppose the Holy Spirit. You are just like your ancestors. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They put to death those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law as transmitted by angels, but you did not observe it." He's speaking the truth here. It's hard, but he's doing it by the grace of God. We need a little more of this, not haranguing people, but just boldly, clearly stating the truth and then offering to help. "When they heard this, they were infuriated and they ground their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together." They said he was blaspheming. He was making these things up. It's not true. "They threw him out of the city and they began to stone him." They were going to kill him. "And the witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul." Saul was a witness to the death of Stephen. Saul was not yet converted. "As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.'" There it is, brothers and sisters. There's heroic Christianity. Forgive your accusers, forgive your attackers, even before they ask for it. Because you want your heart free. You don't want your heart weighed down with the terrible, terrible heavy weights of unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and hatred and everything else that those kinds of sins foment within us. Oh, brothers and sisters, let it go. Let it go. Let God take care of it. "Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he said this, he fell asleep." Now Saul was consenting to his execution. By his presence, he was a witness. He was consenting to his execution. This is before Saul became Paul. Conversion can happen in all of our lives. It can happen to you right now, right where you're sitting. However, maybe you're walking somewhere listening to this program, but your life can change right now. If you give your life to the Lord, and if you decide to follow him. There's an old hymn, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you? Have you personally really decided, I want to be a Christian, I want to live a Christian life, I want to enter into a deep relationship with God. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. We'd be tempted, but no turning back. The glory that awaits you is inexpressible when we decide to follow him and persevere by his grace and power. Psalm 31, into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Be a rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, Lord, O faithful God. My trust is in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad of your mercy. Don't be afraid. God will see you through. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men. Those who are faithful, God shields, God protects. It doesn't mean that we won't have difficulties, but it does mean that we will be protected from all that could lead us away from him if we choose to accept it. He will give us a way to come safely to him. And the gospel for today, the gospel of John chapter 6, verses 30 to 35. The crowd said to Jesus, what sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? You know, we're always looking for signs, aren't we? I need proof. In terms of Jesus, what we need is faith. That's what we need. Not proof. We need faith. Faith to believe. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it makes you feel vulnerable. What if I'm wrong? Put all your trust in him. All your trust in him. All of it. What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. That's what God did for them. How about you? So Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now they're thinking of material bread. Give us bread, like you multiplied those loaves. Come on, give us more bread. We're hungry. Jesus says, when they say, sir, give us this bread always, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. I am the bread of life. I, Jesus, am your food and your drink on the journey to eternal life. And there I will be everything for you. Do you believe that? Can you live out of that reality, out of that truth? It's what God wants. That's what God wants to give us. Can we accept it? Brothers and sisters, there are some days in praying, and I do pray for you a lot, and there are some days when I'm praying that I think, can we overcome the world and its enticements, all the ways in which the world causes us to sin? We could reject it, but we're taken captive sometimes by what the world offers, and all we can see are stars. You know, it looks very glittery and good, and it isn't, because it leads to eternal sadness. It does. I don't know about you, but recently I've been looking at articles or pictures of some of the younger people who have come into the music world and become very, very famous much too fast. They don't know how to handle it at all. Sometimes even when we're older, we don't know how to handle it. And what happens to them? You see it, and it's played out right in front of us. And it's so true. If we follow the world and its values, we're going to be destroyed. And every one of those souls, God would and was willing to die for and did die for. And yet, as we've said so often, we have free will. We can choose not to follow the Lord or the ways of God, or to think that our ways are better. How often we've spoken about this. But you and I still do it. There are still ways we get caught, we get attracted by things. And they pull us away from God, pull us away from His priorities, pull us away from putting all our energy into what He asks. Because that will bring joy. But we're not convinced of that. And so we want to hold on to the things that give us joy, joy that's fleeting, joy that fades, that disappears. We want it for the moment rather than not have it at all. And yet when we want something for the moment, often we're following the wrong path, and that leads us into great trouble. You've seen it around you. Perhaps you've seen it in your own life. You've seen it in the lives of family members, where we go astray, we turn to the values of the world. Jesus hands us the values, offers them to us. They are strong, they are eternal, they are true. They will produce what they promise. You can't count on what the world promises, but you can count on every promise that God gives you. It is the truth. And it will stand firm. And it will endure for your sake. But as I've said so often, we need to make some choices. You can't drift into heaven. You can't drift into heaven. You can drift into hell. But you can't drift into heaven. It has to be a clear choice. Otherwise, you're going to be shackled by all the false promises of the world, and they will distort and divert you from the goal you say you want. So you have to make some choices. Are you ready to make those choices? Are you ready to follow Him completely? Some of you I know are saying to me, yes, yes. And others are saying, I don't know. Still others are saying, oh, that's crazy. Any happiness I have, I'm gonna have to get for myself. You got to get it for yourself. Take care of self. That's about the quickest way to unhappiness there is. So what's your choice? Here we are in this Easter season. Here we are celebrating what Christ did for us. The greatest sign that we are celebrating, truly celebrating, is that our lives are more and more conformed to Him. We choose His values, His priorities over our own. May that be so for you. God bless you. I want to offer you a free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. If you'd like a copy of my CD, Captured by Mercy, which is on forgiveness, you can access that by going to our website, renewalministries.net.